We praise God for the word of God this morning. And we're going to go to the word this morning. And we thank God for the word of God this morning. Let's pray before I start. Father God, we thank you for the word you've given me for us today. Receive that word in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for it. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And we magnify your name. And I say, Holy Spirit, have your way. I realize, Father God, that I can't of my own self do nothing. So right now, I yield to you that we all might receive your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The subject for today is the perfect love of the Father. The perfect love of the Father. In 1 John 4:18, it says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. If you want to know how to get rid of fear, then you need to walk in the perfect love of God. You need to really know and believe that God's love for you is perfect. Human love is not perfect. Then I don't care what other love you can love between a husband and wife, love of a parent for a child, love for a friend, love for parents. That's love, and thank God for that love. But that's not perfect love. There's perfect love only comes from the Father through Jesus Christ. Perfect love only comes from the Father. It only comes from him. And we have a Father, and I call God Father because he is Father. He's Father to me. Some people call him Papa. Some people call him Abba, but he's Father to me. And so, Father's love is perfect. Father God's love is a perfect love. Matter of fact, God has always had a father's heart. He's always had a heart to love, a heart to want family. He's always been a father in his heart. And it was God's purpose when he created Adam and Eve to have a family where he could give out that perfect love to his children and allow those children to give him back love. The word of God says we love him because what? He first loved us. He first loved us. So why did God send Jesus? He sent Jesus so that we would be able to know and believe and receive this perfect love that he had for us. He loved us so much. He loves you so much. But you got to know and believe, the fourth chapter of John says, you got to know this love that God has for you. You got to believe this love that he has for you because it's real. God's love is real. It's tangible. And trust me, it does get rid of fear. The perfect love of God does get rid of fear. I'm an example of that. I used to be a very fearful person. I used to fear a whole lot of things, heights and closed in places and graveyards. And I was loaded with fear. My mother had fear, so I had fear. But I only got rid of the fear once I got born again. Once I got born again, the fear started falling off. Bit by bit, God got rid of the fear. It didn't happen all at once. But the fear started going. Because what? The perfect love of God casts out fear. God loves us perfectly. And when you know someone loves you perfectly, you can trust that love. You can trust the love that God has for you. And God wants us to know he loves us. He wants us to know and walk in that love that he has for us. And believe and trust that love no matter what goes on. Let's look at Matthew 3:17. I'm going to read the King James Version, Matthew 3:17. And this was God the Father letting everybody know about his son, Jesus. And you know what? We're all his sons and daughters that know him. And he will let other people know about us too. He will let others know that that's my daughter. You know, that's my son. You know, so, and this is kind of how he did with Jesus in Matthew 3:17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I do believe that's the first time that the Father had said that about anyone. This is my beloved son, talking about Jesus, and who I'm well pleased. He was well pleased with Jesus, well pleased because he was his son, so he was well pleased with them. And guess what? God is pleased with you. If you have made Jesus the Lord of your life and you walk in that, and even if you're not walking in everything you're supposed to walk in, and none of us are. I think Jesus told the disciples that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. So the fact that you're born again, the fact that you trust Jesus as your Savior, he is pleased. He is pleased with you. He is pleased. Maybe we could get to the well pleased like it did with Jesus, but he's pleased. He's pleased with you. He's pleased with you, daughters. He's pleased with you, son. God is pleased because you have come into his family. You made yourself, you love the Father, and you have accepted Jesus. And so he's well pleased. So when Jesus, the Father, finally had a son in whom he was well pleased, he had a son in whom he was well pleased, one who could understand his perfect love and return that love. I do believe that Jesus probably was the first one to understand the perfect love of the Father. He understood the perfect love of the Father, so Jesus had no fear. He walked in no fear. He was not tormented by fear. He was not bothered with fear. He had no fear of man. He had no fear of Satan. He had no fear of his circumstances. He had no fear of his enemies. He had no fear because he knew the perfect love of his Father. He knew his Father was going to love him. No matter what, he wasn't going to lose the love of the Father. No matter what anybody did, he was not going to lose Father's love. And he walked in the perfect love of his Father, free of all fear. And he understood God's perfect love for him. And what did Jesus do? He declared the Father's love to the disciples. He wanted the disciples to know, okay, I'm your Lord and Savior. I'm the Messiah. But there's a Father. We have a Father. I have a Father. And I want you to know the Father. And John 17, 22 says this, and the glory which you gave me, Jesus was talking to the Father, praying for the disciples and praying for us. And this he said to the Father, he said, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Glory means a lot of things. It means the weight. It means weight. It means value. But I like to think of glory as the weighted presence of God. Jesus gave the disciples the presence of God. He walked in the very presence of the Father. And so that presence not only was with Jesus, but that presence surrounded all those that were with him, his disciples. They could feel and sense the presence that was on Jesus. We've had a few people in history that walked in that presence. And people that got near them or in their presence felt the presence of God. So Jesus said, I've given them that glory which you gave me, that presence of yours that constantly dwells with me, that value that I have for you that's constantly with me, I have given them so that they can be one just like we're one. It's the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, that makes us one. It makes us one. So Jesus gave the glory the Father had given him. He gave them the Father's presence. And we have this through Holy Spirit in our born again spirits, and that makes us one with the Father and one with the Son. If you're born again, and if you have accepted Jesus, you are born again, then you have been made one with the Father and one with the Son through the Holy Spirit. Jesus made the way for the Holy Spirit to come. And when we accept Christ, Christ come to live in us. And then the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit makes us one. It makes us one with him. John 17, 23 says this, I in them, this is this oneness that we have with the Father. And think about this for a moment. Think about this for a moment. We were a people outside of the will of God, outside of the family of God. But the Father loved us so much, he wanted to be one with us. He was willing to give Jesus, he was willing to for his son to be born and to suffer and die so that we could be one with him. That's a perfect love. That's a perfect love. John 17, 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them at and have loved them as you have loved me. That we may be perfect in one. In what? In that oneness of the Father's love. In that perfect love of the Father, we're made one. In that perfect love of the Father, we're made one. We're only made perfect in our oneness with Jesus and the Father. It's only through Jesus Christ that we could even get to know the Father, that we can even be made perfect one with Jesus and the Father. It's only through the Father and the Son. Only through Jesus, we can be made one with him and the Father. And the Holy Spirit does that for us. This oneness of love where we hate what God hates and love what he loves. In this oneness of love with the Father, we get to hate what he hates and we get to love what he loves. This is the place where we love God more than we love man. We got to get to that place where we love God more than we love man, more than we love ourselves, more than we love anything else, but we put him first. He's first love. Where we delight in the fear of God like Jesus did. Isaiah 11:3 tells us that Jesus delighted in the fear of God. And what's the fear of God? Reverencing God, loving him, hating what God hates, and loving what God loves. We are to delight in the fear of God. We don't fear like the world fears our Father, but our fear of God is a reverential fear, a fear that honors, a fear that exalts. You know, it's not the same thing, but kind of remember how you kind of honored your parents and they had sort of an awe? I mean, they had a place that nobody else had a place. Well, God is like that too, but it's more than like our parents, where we delight in the fear of God, Isaiah 11:3. But we know that the Father loves us the same as he loved Jesus. This love is a perfect love. There's no other way to have perfect love except knowing the perfect love of the Father and allowing that perfect love to come out of your spirit and love others in that way. It's only through the love of the Father in us that we're even able to love each other with that perfect love. One thing about perfect love is unconditional love. It's unconditional love. It's that love that you give someone not because they deserve it, not because they ask for it, not because you're trying to get something from them or want them to love you back. But that perfect unconditional love of God out of our hearts to others is that love that says, I love you even if you don't love me. I love you unconditionally even if you don't treat me right. I love you unconditionally even if you don't like me. Even if you've done bad things to me, I have to forgive you and allow that unconditional love in my heart to come out to you. Unconditional love. Unconditional love is perfect love. The perfect love of God is unconditional love. And the word of God said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that allows this perfect love of the Father to come out of us to others. But until we get to know and believe that the Father loves us perfectly, then we're not going to be able to love others. Because guess what? Remember, perfect love casts out fear. If you don't know the perfect love of the Father, you're going to be afraid to love others unconditionally. You're not going to want to put yourself in a position to be hurt by somebody else. You're not going to want to put yourself in a position to maybe be judged by somebody else because of fear. But perfect love of the Father casts out fear. So then that unconditional love that you know the Father has for you, you're able to allow Holy Spirit to bring that unconditional and perfect love out of you to those around you, to those you meet. The perfect love of the Father. Let's read John 17, 24 and 25 and 26. Father, verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Did you know that the Father also loved you before the foundation of the world? He loved me before the foundation of the world. Just like he loved Jesus before the foundation of the world, he loved us before the foundation of the world. He knew about you before your parents even thought about you. He knew about us in the beginning, before he created the world, before he created the earth. He had us in his heart, and he created the universe and the world for us. He created a place for us to live. He made everything just right. The Garden of Eden, he made the whole world just right before he made his children, before he created us. So he loved us before the foundation of the world. Even though Adam was created last, Adam was not thought of last, nor were you. We were thought of first, and then God created this world just like what he knew we needed. Isn't that something? The perfect love of the Father. Everything in your life, everything that you ever need, everything that God wants for you, everything that he has created for you, every purpose and desire he has for you has already been created before God created, before you were born. Because now we're born through our parents, but we come from God. Before you were born, God knew everything that he wanted to prepare for you, and he did that before you were born. He doesn't do it after you're here. You know, that's not I care is not an afterthought. God puts everything in place for us before we're born. That's the perfect love of a father. That's the perfect love of a father. It makes you think about parents that are preparing for a birth of a child. They don't wait till the child is born. Then they go get the room ready. Then they go buy the clothes. Then they do this and they do that. They get their they buy clothes. Some of them fix a nursery. Some of them go buy a house so they have room for the baby. They prepare for that baby before the baby's born. Even when they start thinking about having a baby, they start preparing. Well, our Father is way better than that. He does more, way more preparing for us than that. So the God, Father God prepared for you before you were born, before your parents even thought about you. He prepared for you. Because perfect love does that. Perfect love has the person in mind that they love. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. Jesus knew the Father. He called him, O righteous Father, the world has not known you. The world cannot know the Father. Only born-again believers can know the perfect love of the Father. Only born-again believers can know the Father. You can hear about God. You can hear someone talk about God. But you can't really know God until you get born again and allow Jesus to come into your heart. Once you become a new creation, then you can get to know God. You can know of God. I mean, I know of the President of the United States, but I don't know him. I mean, I've heard about him. And you've got people you've heard about, but you don't know them. Just because you heard about somebody don't mean you know them. And so we get to know God. The world cannot know God. I mean, the Bible tells that they can't know him. You can only know the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. So the world doesn't know the love of the Father because they don't know Jesus. But we know the love of the Father because we know Jesus. So the world has to see the love of the Father through us. They have to hear about the love of the Father through us. They have to see us walking in that perfect love. in order to be drawn to the Father. To reject Jesus is to reject the love of the Father. Those who reject Jesus have also rejected the love of the Father. Jesus told the Pharisees, they claimed to know God, but he told them, you don't know my Father. Because had you known him, you would have known me. You would have known me. Verse 26, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it. The love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. So it's the will of God. God's will is that Jesus be born, and we're celebrating his birth, and he was born, and he came, and he declared the name of the Father to the disciples. And he said, I will declare it. And why is he declaring the name of the Father to the disciples? So that the love which Jesus had that was in him from the Father might be in them. And the love with which you have loved me, that same love that the Father loved Jesus with, that same perfect love of the Father that was in Jesus. Jesus declared the Father's name to the disciples. So the same way that the Father loved Jesus, the Father would love us. That love would be in our heart. Not so much that the Father, because the Father already loved us. But he wanted where? He wanted that love to be in our hearts. He wanted that knowing the Father and knowing the love of the Father to be on the inside of us, in our hearts, in our spirit man. He wanted us to know the Father's love on the inside of us. He wanted that love in us. So he declared a loving Father, and he declared a perfect love. Let's go to 1 John 4:8. 1 John 4:8. We're going to read 8, 9, those verses, and then we're going to go to Romans 5:8. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I mean, God is love. People have portrayed God in all kinds of ways, but the Bible says God is love. God is love. And that's what the Word of God said. The Word of God said God is love. A lot of all this junk that's placed on God is not from him, because God is love. He's not killing. He's not destroying. Because the Bible said in John 10:10, the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. 1 John 4:9, and in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So how do we know? Manifest means to make known. How is the love of God made known to us? God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And that was the only way. There was no other way. I know the world talks about a whole bunch of other ways to God except Jesus, but trust me. You gotta trust the word. You ain't got to trust me. Trust the word. Trust the word. The word says that there's only one way, and that one way is Jesus. Jesus is the only way. And God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to suffer and die. And Jesus was his only begotten Son. He sent him to suffer and die so that we might live. The only way to live is to live in the perfect love of the Father. God has made his love known through sending Jesus so that we might live through Jesus. Not just physically live, but have spiritual life, the Zoe life that comes from God. Physical life is not living. That's physical life, physical living. Spiritual life is Zoe life that comes from God. You know how that's true? When your physical body can no longer function, it dies. Your spirit, your soul leaves. So physical life is temporary, but spiritual life is eternal. What's eternal life? I think John 17, 3 says, is to know the Father and to know the Son. That's eternal life. Knowing the Father and knowing the Son. So we experience what God says is life in Christ once you get born again. You can't live outside of Christ. Spiritual life is in Christ. That's the life that makes a difference. Spiritual life makes a difference. Romans 5:8. Let's read Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Same thing it told us in 1 John 4:9. God demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait till we got right. He didn't wait till we acted right. He didn't try to find the most righteous persons, because the most righteous person in this world cannot live and could not pay for our sins. It's only through Christ Jesus. It's only through Christ that we were able to receive what we needed from God to be born again. So Romans 5:8 said God demonstrated, he showed us how much he loved us, because we were still sinners, but Christ died for us. The perfect love of the Father saw what we needed, and the perfect love of the Father sent his Son so we could receive what we needed, and that was Jesus Christ. That was Jesus. He's the only way. God loved us when we were enemies, when we weren't seeking to know him, when we weren't even thinking about him, when we didn't even want to be born again. Some of us, I mean, you weren't thinking about being born again. Some of us thought about it and we started seeking for it, but there's some that weren't even thinking about it. But God came in and interrupted their life because of his perfect love and say, okay, I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to show you my perfect love. I'm going to let you know what I've done for you, so that you could be my son and you could be my daughter. We have the perfect love of a father, one that has always loved us. Do you not know God loved those that are in hell right now that didn't receive Jesus? People say that people got this crazy religion going around saying, well, if God loves everybody, and he does, he's not going to send nobody to hell. God don't send people to hell. He gives us a choice. We've always had a choice. Adam and Eve had a choice. We have a choice now. We can choose life or we can choose death. But Jesus said, I tell you what, I'm gonna give you a test, you might want to say. But I'm going to give you the answer. He says, I put before you life and death. Then he says, choose life. Please choose life. The perfect love of the Father loves us that much that he made a way for us to be born again. He made a way for us to receive that perfect love, to get to know his love and receive it. To get to know his love and receive it. Let's go to 1 John 4:16. We can know and we can believe Father's love, the scripture says. That perfect love of God I've been telling you about, we can get to know that love and we can get to believe that love. 1 John 4:16 says this, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. John said, we have known and believed. We've known that love. We believe that love that God has for us. God is love. And if you abide in love, you abide in God. If you are abiding, remaining, and living in Father's love, then you're remaining and you're abiding in him. We cannot abide in God without abiding in love. Remain, stay in him. Stay focused on him. Stay with your mind on him. Stay connected. I'm not saying you're gonna lose your salvation. Connected means you're connected in your mind. You're connected in your thoughts. You're connected in your thinking. If you want to remain in that love, you have to abide in there, remain there. And how did Jesus say that he remained in the Father's love? He kept the Father's commandments. He did whatever the Father told him to do. If we want to remain and stay in the perfect love of God, then we got to be obedient to him and walk in obedience to the commands of God. Walk in what God has put in your heart. Walk in what you see in the reveal of the word of God. Walk in what Holy Spirit tells you to do. That's the only way to abide and remain in the perfect love of God is obedience. Obedience is powerful. I'm not saying I got that pat, but I'm learning. Obedience. Abide in the Father's love by keeping the commandments. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments because you don't, don't go there. Jesus told the disciple to have two. Love the Lord God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your understanding, and love your neighbor as yourself. So love is the commandment you got to keep. If we keep the love commandment, then you won't have to worry about nothing, all the rest of it. If you just walk in love and keep the Father's commandment. Walking in the Spirit is walking in love. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, that means you're being obedient and you're being led by Holy Spirit. Carnality is living outside of the love of God. That means you're not living, walking in the commandments of God. You're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in your own carnal thinking and your own carnal mind and your own reasoning. Reasoning came when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because good and evil has to reason. Walking in the Spirit don't have to do all that. Don't have to reason. Walking in the Spirit means I'm going to obey God and do what God tells me to do. If you're reasoning things out and you're leaving God out of the picture, you're not talking to him, you're not reading the word, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, then you're going by your own understanding, and that's carnality. You're going by what you see, hear, smell, think, taste, your five senses. Five senses has to do with reasoning. It has to do with you reasoning. Let's get to 4:17. Get ready to wrap this up. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Love has already been perfected among us, so we can have boldness in the day of judgment. How has love been perfected among us? As Jesus is, so are we. The love of God. When I read this, I thought about the love of God. We have the love of God on the inside of us. Whether you believe it, know it, walk in it or not, that love is on the inside of you. And that love has been perfected among us in Christ. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As Christ is right now, sitting on the right hand of the Father. That's how we are right now. Doesn't say that's how we're going to be one day. That's not what the word says. The word said, because as he is right now, so are we in this world. All of us that are born again have the perfect love of the Father on the inside of us. But what are we doing with it? Are we getting to know it, believe it, so we can walk in it? Or are we walking in our own reasoning, our own thinking about how we think about ourselves or how we think about this situation, how we think about that situation? That's not walking in the perfect love of the Father. The perfect love of the Father says, okay, I'm believing to see myself the way the Father sees me. I'm going to believe about me the way the perfect love of the Father believes about me. I'm going to see others the way the perfect love of the Father in me sees others. I'm going to see you through the eyes of the Father, not through my own reasoning, my own understanding. I'm not going to see you through how you treat me. I'm going to see you through the perfect love of the Father. That's how we're supposed to do. Don't see others the way they treat you, what they say about you. See them through that perfect love of the Father that's already on the inside of you. Because that's how the Father looks at you. He looks at you through his perfect love. He doesn't look at you through your faults and your weaknesses and your failures and whatever you're not doing right or what you are having trouble with. That's not how he sees you. He sees you through Jesus. He sees you through everything that Jesus has already accomplished for you. And that's the perfect love of the Father. That's the perfect love of the Father. So in this world, we're abiding in the perfect love of the Father because he's on the inside of us. But are you walking in it? Are you drawing from that perfect love? Or are you drawing from your own reasoning and thinking like I already said? We just have to come to know and believe this perfect love of the Father that we already have. He's already given us. Verse 18, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. There is no fear in the perfect love of the Father. Once you get to know the perfect love of the Father for you, now it's an individual thing. You need to get to know the perfect love of the Father for you. You might know that the Father loved Jesus perfectly, or you might know he loved Robert perfectly and all that, but do you know that the Father loves you perfectly? There's no flaw in God's love for you. There's no crinkles, no wrinkles, nothing like that in his love for you. There's no kinks, no hidden agenda, nothing. He has perfect love for you. And in that perfect love that the Father has for you, there should be no fear, because you don't have to fear, because it says right here, perfect love casts out fear. If you have fear in any area of your life, that means you are not walking in the perfect love of God in that area. Or should I say it this way? You are not believing the perfect love of God in that area, because fear brings torment. Fear had this thought of being punished, being dealt with harshly, or is fear. Fear thoughts are not good thoughts. They're not good thoughts. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. If you still have fear in any area of your life, you can have fear in. You can be walking in perfect love in one area, but have fear in another area. Whatever, look in your life, whatever area of your life where there's fear, that means that you have not been made perfect in the Father's love in that area where you have fear at. And you need to work on that. You need to pray about it. You need to get to know the perfect love of the Father in that area. What's God saying in that area? What's God already said in that area? What has God's word said about that area of your life that you have fear in? Once you know God in that area, know his love for you in that area, then that fear will leave. It will leave. Because what? Perfect love casts fear out. The Father's love in that area brings no fear with it. When you allow the Father's love in that area, it brings no fear with it. Matter of fact, it casts out fear in that area. So you need to be made perfect in the love of the Father in that area where you still might be having fear. It might be as simple as becoming obedient to his word. There might be a place where you're fearful of obeying God. Then you're not trusting the perfect love of God in the area. And you need to start trusting him. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. I want to read 1 John 4:17, 18, and 19 in the Passion Translation. Then I'm going to go to the conclusion of the message. Just listen to what the Passion Translation says about 1 John 4:17, 18, and 19. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we may have fearless faith. Let me start over. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment, because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. In my conclusion, I want to say, be rooted and grounded in Father's love. Be rooted and grounded in that perfect love of the Father. This is what Paul prayed to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. He said this, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And how does Christ dwell in our hearts? It's faith. You got to believe that he's there in on the inside of you. You got to believe that he's in your heart. You got to believe that the Father loves you perfectly. You got to believe in the perfect love of the Father. It's by faith. Believe it. Believe that Christ dwells in your heart because he does. He does. And believe that since Christ is in your heart, the perfect love of the Father dwells there too. And so if he prayed, Paul said this to the Ephesians, it was a prayer, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, in what love? The perfect love of the Father. Be rooted and grounded in the love of the Father for you. Not rooted and grounded in your love for somebody else, because you can't love somebody else unless you first know the love of the Father. So being rooted and grounded in love, in the Father's perfect love for you. And I want you to see that, because sometimes we know we believe God loves us, but we don't believe God's love is perfect. We don't believe his love is perfect for us. God loves you perfectly. His love is perfect for you. And perfect love casts out fear. So being rooted and grounded in God's perfect love for you. Verse 18, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Love breaks every barrier. Love bridges every gap. Love breaks open every door. Love changes and melts hearts. So be able to comprehend with all the saints. What is the width, length, depth, and height? What are we talking about? Talking about the perfect love of the Father. We're talking about the love of the Father. And the other scripture told us about that his love is perfect. So anytime you see the love of the Father, you know you're talking about the perfect love of the Father, because of God. I mean, ain't no flaw in God now. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height of what? What are we talking about? Love. That you may know the width of God's love, the length of God's love, the depth of God's love, the height of God's love. And verse 19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Not only the perfect love of God, to know that, but also to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. I mean, the love of Christ is beyond our comprehension, unless the Holy Spirit help us comprehend whatever little bit we can comprehend. It's beyond our knowledge. And once we get all that love on the inside of us, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. There's no way to be filled with all the fullness of God without knowing the perfect love of the Father and the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge. It's all about knowing how much you are loved by the Father. Then we can walk in the fullness of God. Then we can be filled with the fullness of God. Then we can be filled with the fullness of God. Once we get to know the love of the Father, his perfect love for us, then we can love others. Then we can walk in the fullness of God. Then we can know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. Everything God has given us freely in Christ. God has given us everything freely, but everything is in Christ. And everything hinges on how much we know and believe the Father's love for us. Once you know you're loved by the Father, it makes you fearless. Once you know the love, perfect love of the Father, the devil cannot bring all those, that junk on you, all those thoughts that make you think wrong about yourself or make you think wrong about somebody else. He has to go and come up with something else, because that don't work anymore. Because you know the perfect love of the Father. And every time you bring those darts and that stuff, you raise up your shield of faith. You use the word of God, because the word of God said that perfect love cast out fear. and you start gaining momentum. You begin gaining momentum in the spirit. We stop losing ground. I'm talking to myself too. We stop losing ground. We start gaining momentum in the spirit. Gaining momentum in the spirit. The more we know the love of the Father, the more we know his perfect love for us in every area of our life, those areas where now we're fearful, we allow that perfect love to cast out that fear and regain momentum in the spirit. And we do great exploits for Christ. In the name of Jesus, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for all those that are on today to hear the word of God. And God, we thank you for the awesome privilege of being able to bring the word of God to your people and to receive it myself and walk in it myself. And so God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. We magnify your name. And God, we say, thank you, Jesus. You're an awesome Father, God. You're an awesome Father, God. Hallelujah. You're an awesome Father, God. And we love you. We thank you for your perfect love. You loved us when we were yet enemies. You gave us what we needed when we weren't even asking for it. Because that's how you love us. And so, God, we ask to know you even the more. To know and believe the fullness of your love for us. The heights and the depth and the widths of your love for us. And that love of Christ for us that surpasses all understanding. God, we love you this morning and we thank you. We praise you. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you for Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. We give you glory, give you praise, and we say thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.